Now we're turning to the book of 2 Samuel 24. Preachers, religious leaders, and churches in this day have led people to believe that they're doing spiritual works and that they're pleasing God and that they're receiving a righteous credit to their account because of their so-called contributions to churches and religious causes, and by their so-called good works and their occasional religious attention or attendance, and they're being led to feel good about their gifts and about their contributions and about their righteousness, when in reality, most of us have never given anything to God. And most of what we call religious service today, and I say this, I trust, carefully, prayerfully, most of what we call good works today and spiritual effort toward God is an abomination to God. Now, I constantly read in the paper about a certain church having candy sales. I go to my door sometime. The doorbell will ring, and I'll go to the door, and there stands a little boy, a little girl, and they say, "You want to buy some candy, mister?" And I say, "Well, I don't know. What's it all about?" He says, "Well, I'm selling this candy for the High Plains Road Baptist Church. We have some missionaries in Jamaica, and we're trying to raise some money to send our missionaries. Doesn't that sound good?" I don't buy the candy. I don't mean to be cruel. But if you went out this whole church and sold $1 million worth of candy tomorrow to send to Walter and Betty the money, to France and Spain, it would be an abomination to God. You'd be giving nothing to God. You'd be making no spiritual contribution. You'd be giving no thank offering whatsoever. Bake sales, rummage sales, to raise money for missions and churches. Now listen to me. Stay with me. I read about churches having bond sales. Here's a church going to build a building for the glory of God. So they bring in a money-raising crew, and they have a campaign. And some of you men with money buy a bond, and you pay $5,000 or $10,000, and they promise to pay you back that money and promise to give you 6%, 8%, or even 10% on your money. You have made no contribution whatsoever to the kingdom of God Almighty. You have made no contribution. Don't feel good about it. You have no spiritual work whatsoever. You have prostituted the kingdom of God. You, rather than feel good, you ought to feel brokenhearted that you've had any part in such shenanigans. It's not of God. And then we have young people. I've had some of our young people some time ago want to pick up Coke bottles and sell them, or have car washes to support the missionaries. Now listen to me. This is not a spiritual service. And you'll see what I'm talking about in a moment. Used clothing. We get used clothing together. Everybody go in their closets now and get out all their old suits that they don't wear, and the old shoes that are no longer any good, and the old jackets and old sweaters, you know. Clean out your closet and take it to the orphan's home, or take it to the missionaries, or take it to somebody, and feel good about it. Don't feel good. It may profit them. That's fine. I'm not discouraging this sort of thing, the used clothing. Do it. But don't consider it a thank offering to God. It didn't cost you anything. It didn't take any self-denial, any sacrifice, or any cost. Now don't go out and say, "Brother Man said, don't take up any more used clothing or used furniture or anything to give to orphans." Don't do it. But don't say it's a spiritual work. It's not a spiritual work. It's a humanitarian work. It's not spiritual. It's not unto God. When a man comes to your home and you give him your new suit, now then, you can consider a work of righteousness. Not your used one, but the one you hadn't worn. That's right. Something that cost you something. Something that deprived you, or some self-denial or sacrifice. Now, you'll see what I'm talking about as I go on. Then a certain company will sell things to a church wholesale. Fine, I'm glad that they do. That helps out a lot. But it's not a spiritual service unto God. It's making no contribution to God whatsoever. It's not a thank offering. It's not an offering of praise. And a person should feel no good has been accomplished as far as his soul is concerned or his relationship with God at all. Selling to a church at 10% off or 20% off or 30% off. You've made no thank offering till you give it. Till you totally give 100% off. Worthless hillside land. I pastored a church in Chattanooga that some rich farmer gave the land for the church to build on. You say, isn't that good? It's a piece of ground he couldn't use. Why, you couldn't have parked a car on it hardly, let alone plant corn on it. It was nothing but a ditch. It was downhill and uphill over here. It was an old corner of his property that he did not need and could not use, and nobody would buy, so he gave it to God. That is not giving anything to God. One thing about all these projects, now listen to me, about candy sales and bake sales and rummage sales to raise money, bond sales, used clothing, used furniture, articles sold to the church wholesale, worthless hillside land. All of these things have, all of these projects have one thing in common. They cost the person who participates in it nothing. Now get what I'm saying. They cost the person who gives it and who extends it and who makes the gift nothing. It didn't cost him anything. I can bring no thank offering to God which costs me nothing. And all of these efforts have one thing in common. There is not anywhere the element of sacrifice or the element of self-denial anywhere in this. The element of self-denial and sacrifice is not there at all. And I can show you from God's Word, as I shall attempt to show you tonight, that which costs me nothing, and that which does not contain the element of sacrifice or self-denial, is not acceptable to God as a thank offering or as a spiritual work. Now let me go back over this introduction and say to you that, let it be clear in your minds, if you have some clothing you're not using or furniture you're not using, give it to people. Fine, but don't call it a spiritual work. Don't get any spiritual satisfaction out of it. Don't feel that it has recommended you to God in any way. Because it's not. And it's not the Spirit of Christ. It's just the spirit of humanity, of doing a good thing, a good deed for a neighbor. I wonder, as I think about this subject and as I studied for this message, and I read this scripture, I wonder, now you listen to me, and I'm talking about myself and you too. Have I ever really given anything to God? Now, I'm not talking about in return for salvation. Salvation's free. It's the gift of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. I'm not talking of the element of merit whatsoever or being accepted of God by anything I do. But I'm talking about a thank offering. I'm talking about a good deed. I'm talking about a spiritual work. Have any of us? Some of you may, and you examine your own heart. Have I ever really given anything to God? Something that cost me something. Something that cost me time, or cost me money, or cost me sacrifice, or cost me self-denial. Something that I took that was good, and I gave it to God for His glory. Now you think over your life. Have I ever really... Now you say, well, I've tithed faithfully. The tithe is already the Lord's. It wasn't yours to give. Now here in 2 Samuel, let me show you this, and I'm preaching to myself as well as you, and where I am now, this subject we're dealing with, it is most important. In 2 Samuel, David had sinned greatly against God by numbering Israel. And God came to him. He told him, he said, I'm going to punish you, David. He sent word to David by the prophet. And God sends us word by his prophet. Does he, you have a prophet that speaks to you? Do you have a messenger? You your own prophet. That's dangerous too, you know. It's dangerous to follow a false prophet. That's terribly dangerous. But it's dangerous to be your own preacher, to be your own prophet. Even David the king had to get word from God by a prophet. God sent him a messenger. And there are people, and really this message that I'm dealing with tonight, there are folks who've already made up their mind about it, you know. They don't like what I'm saying, so therefore it can't be so. It may be. There's a good possibility it is. Somebody's got to bring you the message. You're not your own prophet. David wasn't his own prophet. Samuel, the prophet of God, was not his prophet. Or Eli, rather. Samuel went to Eli. Eli was a prophet, but God sent a prophet to the prophet. And he brings us messages. That's the reason I say, and this is, I've said this quite frequently, that the greatest gift that God can give to a people is a messenger who has a message from God. And the greatest curse God can bring on a people. And if what I'm saying is not true tonight, how dangerous a weapon it is. The greatest curse God can bring on a people is to allow them to fall into the hands of a person who misleads them and deceives them and says peace when there's no peace. But as I think about this, if that which costs me nothing is worth nothing, I wonder, have I ever really brought a thank offering to God in any way? Have I ever really done a good work? Have I ever really given anything to God that cost me something? David had numbered Israel, and Joab had objected to it strenuously, but David was king, and his word prevailed, and God said, all right, David, you have three choices. I'll give you 7 years of famine, let you fall into the hands of your enemies for 3 months, or 3 days of pestilence from the Lord on the land. And David said, let me fall into the hands of the Lord. He's merciful, not in the hands of men. So the angel came and smote 70,000 men, and then he stayed his hand. And the angel of the Lord was over here at Araunah's threshing floor. And David went over there. And the angel of the Lord said, build an altar and offer an offering unto the Lord. A thank offering, a praise offering. Offer a sacrifice unto the Lord. For God has stayed his hand. And so he said, take this threshing floor. So David went to the man who owned it. There was this huge threshing floor. And there were the oxen. And there were the instruments, the things they used, the wood and everything. And David said, I want to buy all this. I want to buy the whole thing. And the man said, what's my Lord going to do with it? And David said, I'm going to build an altar, and I'm going to offer an oxen, and I'm going to sacrifice unto the Lord a thank offering. God has stayed his hand. God has withheld his judgment. God has lifted his anger. God has spared Israel, and I'm going to praise the Lord. Well, he said, take it all. Isn't that great? I like that man's spirit. Take it all. I'm not going to sell it to you. My Lord, take it. And you know, with our good business judgment, Cecil, we'd have done it. We'd have taken it. And this is where so many missionaries have gone wrong on the foreign fields. They have let American churches build those churches down there and over there. It sounds good. We say to a missionary, you go over there and preach and organize a church, and we'll build you a church, and we'll buy you the land, and we'll put up a building, and we'll put an organ in it, and we'll put a piano in it. We'll put songbooks in it. The missionary says, hallelujah, God's met our need. And those poor natives there have given nothing. They've made no thank offering. They've brought nothing to God. And that's the reason when the missionary leaves, it all caves in, falls to pieces. Thank God Walter's not working that way in Mexico. That's why he won't let us pay those missionary, those native preachers down. That's why he won't let us build those churches. That's why he won't let us send the money down there to build, to Those people bring their eggs and their chickens and their little 15 cents and 20 cents offering. It takes them 5 years to build a church. But when they built it, they've given to the Lord. They don't have but five eggs, and they brought three of them to God. Have I ever given anything? And so the man said, "Take it, David, take it." David said, "I will not take it. Shall I offer unto the Lord? Shall I bring a gift to God that costs me nothing? That costs me nothing?" A gracious heart will not serve God with that which cost him nothing. If it's worth nothing to you and it means nothing to you, it's worth less to God. And it means less to God. That's this thing of trying to serve God with our spare time. And here, this is the place where a lot of you have never ever really worshiped God, because you've never put forth any effort to worship God. You worship God when it's convenient. You worship God when you don't have anything else to do. You'll come and sing in church or speak in church or worship in church or do that when you don't have anything else to do. The only time you'll ever worship God is when you have something else to do, and you worship God instead of doing it. The only time you ever give anything to God is when you got another use for it, and you let that go and give it to God. That's the truth. And I'll show you that in the scripture. Now turn to Malachi chapter 1. David, he didn't care what it cost. He wanted to offer a thank offering to God. And he paid for it. A man offered to give it to him, and he wouldn't take it. He paid for it. Now listen to this. Malachi 1, these people had some bread that was stale. They had good bread, but they had some stale bread. And they said, "Well, let's use the stale bread and give it to God." And they had some sick sheep. And they gave the sick sheep, S-I-C-K, the sick sheep, the ill sheep. Listen to this. In Malachi 1, verse 6, the last book in the Old Testament, "A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If I be your father, where is my honor? If I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you. O priest that despise my name." And you say, "When have we despised your name?" And he said, "You offer polluted bread, stale bread upon my altar." And you say, "When have we polluted thee? In that the table of the Lord is contemptible." And if you offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? If you offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Offer it to your governor. Offer him your sick sheep. Offer him your used clothing. Offer him your used furniture. Offer him the things you don't need. And see, will he be pleased with it? Will he accept your person, saith the Lord of hosts? Will he take your spare time? I'll come see you when I don't have anything else to do. When I don't have any company or family or friends or activities or vacations or these things to do, I'll come see you. Will he accept that? You expect God to? You know, back in the Old Testament, the farmer went out and looked over his ranch or his, and he went out and picked out the prize bull, the 4-H winner, the $40,000 bull, and brought it to the Lord. The firstling of the flock, the choice lamb. He didn't go out and pick out the crippled lamb like we would. He went out and picked the choice lamb, the number one lamb, the one that everybody envied him for having, brought it to the Lord. He went out to the fields, and when the reapers came in and reaped the fields, the first 100 bushels that they reaped went to God. Didn't know whether that back 40 or 80 would yield anything, but that first fruits went to God. That's the scripture. But that preachers and churches bow and scrape before people today because they give a little handout to the church, make a little contribution to the church out of their abundance. And we just make them feel so good and so religious and so righteous because they've given God a tip. They hadn't given God anything. I wonder if we've ever given anything, if we've ever brought a thank offering. God has lifted us from the dunghill and made us sons of God. God has cleansed us of our sins and made us children. God has saved our lives from hell and destruction, and we give him a 15-cent tip. Turn to Mark chapter 12. Let me show you a picture of giving, Bible giving. As I say, any thank offering, any burnt offering, any offering of praise for God's goodness is not one at all that does not involve sacrifice, self-denial, if it doesn't cost you something. That's right. In Mark chapter 12, verse 41, listen. And Jesus sat over against the treasury. He sat right here while they took up the offering. Sat right there so he could watch. And beheld how the people cast their gifts into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in a whole lot. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in 2 mites. That's the 7th part of 1 piece of brass money, is what it says in my margin. 2 mites, which make a farthing. He called his disciples and said to them, you want to learn something? Verily I say unto you, this widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For they gave of their abundance. It didn't hurt them at all. It didn't even make a dent in their possessions. But she of want did cast in all that she had, even all her that she gave unto the Lord. That's what the Master said. Abraham, God tested his love and faith. And wherein did he test him? He told him to get his prized possession, to get that which was nearest to his heart and dearest to his soul, next to God, and put it on the altar. And that was his only son. And Abraham gave him. Abraham would have given anything else, but he brought that prized possession and gave it to God. Our Lord Jesus gave himself for us. He gave himself. Christ, who was rich, for our sakes became poor. This is the thing that troubles me, and there are 4 things I want to give you here that I see that's wrong with what we're doing today in calling. And thank God for every gift that has come and every contribution and every for supplying our needs. But I wonder if we have any right to feel we've done anything, that we've made any kind of contribution, that we have any right to call ourselves thankful, grateful people, when really we've never touched, we've never gone into where we've really done anything. We've really given anything. It's been sort of the out of the abundance. It's been sort of out of the plenty. It's been sort of, I got a whole shelf here, why don't you take 2 or 3? It's been, I've got a whole closet full, why don't you pick out 1, God, but leave me the rest. It's been sort of like the church kind of gets what I have left, or what I don't need, or my time is valuable. I know that. And that's the reason I say, when you start taking some of that valuable time and giving it to God, you've given some. There are 4 things wrong with this, what present day giving. A gift that costs me nothing. Now listen to them, 4 things. Get this is the outline. Be well to put this down somewhere if you want to. These are my observations. Number 1, a gift to God. Now I'm not, my friends, don't stop humanitarian work. Don't stop these things saying that because I'm not doing it for God's glory, I won't do it in the sense of sharing. But what I'm talking about is a thank offering. This thing of walking with God, giving for the glory of God, a thank offering, a something that with which God is pleased. from the hand of a grateful servant. Just you're not doing that until it costs you something. And the reason is there's four things. Number one, a gift which costs me nothing, which does not have the element of sacrifice like this widow's might. A gift that does not have the element of self-denial reveals a lack of faith. A lack of faith. In other words, say you have a missionary need, and you've got a little money stacked away. You can't touch that. Let's see, what have we got, honey, in the checking account? Well, we've got $300. Well, give $30 there. What about that $10,000 over here in the savings? That's for my old age. Things could get tough. We may need that. You see what that's showing? Now, I'm not suggesting all of it. I'm just giving the illustration. You know what that's suggesting? That's suggesting a lack of faith. God can't take care of you in your old age. You've got to have that to lean on. So it shows a lack of faith. Our Lord said, now listen to me. Our Lord said, why take ye thought for what you shall eat, drink, or wear? Your Father knows you have need of these things. It's after these things that the Gentiles seek. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added. Now don't misunderstand me. I'm not suggesting that everybody here take all their houses and sell them and take all of their savings out and give it. I'm just giving an illustration. I'm saying that the reason many times we do not reach in and reach out with a sacrificial self-denial thank offering to God is we're leaning on the arm of the flesh, and we're not trusting with faith our living God. It shows a lack of faith. Abraham was willing to sacrifice Isaac because he believed God. God had told him, he said, Abraham, you're going to have a son, and that son is the seed. That son is the seed of a great nation, and I'll make of you a great nation and a great people. And Abraham believed God. And when God said, now take that son and sacrifice him, he said, all right, here he is. God said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. I'll take care of you. Even down to old age, all my people have proved my sovereign, omnipotent, eternal love. I know you love me, Lord, but I want to kind of, provide for myself. It could be that you might forget I'm down here. And a gift that costs nothing reveals a lack of faith. Here it is, Lord. Here it is. Now you meet my need. Now we can say that we've given a thank offering. It costs something. Secondly, what's wrong with a gift that costs nothing? What was wrong with this man? This man said, David, take it. It's yours. No, he said, I'm going to pay for it. I'm going to pay for it. If I'm going to give it to God, it's going to cost me something. If it's going to be a thank offering, it's going to come from my heart, and it's going to cost me something. Because a gift which costs nothing reveals a lack of love. A lack of love. Love's liberal. And I'm not saying that present-day men and women are not liberal. I was listening to a man the other night on television, and his wife had gotten cancer. And they were talking about hospital costs. And he says, I'd do anything for my wife. It's cost me everything I have. It's cost me everything we saved. It cost us everything, but I willingly gave it. I willingly paid it because I love her. And that's what I'm saying as far as God's concerned. We'll do that for a father or a mother or a brother or sister, but how much do we love God? You know, turn over to Genesis chapter 29. Genesis 29 verse 20. Listen to this. You know, Jacob loved Rachel. You remember how he loved Rachel? And her father, Laban, wasn't that his name? Jacob, he told Jacob he could have Rachel to be his wife if he'd work 7 years. And Jacob worked 7 years, and then he gave him Leah, and he married her. And he said, I want Rachel. He said, work 7 more years. And Genesis 29:20 said, and Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and there seemed unto him but a few days for the love he had to her. 7 years just seemed like a few days because he loved that girl. And that's the way it is with a gift of love. Love is liberal. It's open-hearted. It considers no labor, no cost, no difficulty too great. I wish I loved God like that. I wish I loved the church of the Lord Jesus Christ like that. I wish I loved the kingdom of God like that. But when love is missing, everything that's done is loss. It's loss. A man will give everything he's got to heal a son of a disease, but the government comes and wants $1,000 for taxes, and he complains. And sometimes it's legitimate. But the point I'm making is this. Why didn't he complain over here? This cost him 10 times more. He loves that boy. He doesn't love that government. He loves that boy. So the test is love. That's what it is. So I say a gift that costs nothing, that requires no self-denial and no sacrifice, whether it be a gift of time or whether it be a gift of possessions or whether it be a gift of voluntary labor or whether it be a gift to preach or teach or sing or whatever it is. If there's not some self-denial or sacrifice or effort or time spent, it means nothing. And what's missing is the love. The love for Christ. That's the second thing. A gift that costs nothing shows a lack of faith. It shows a lack of love. And thirdly, now watch this. A gift that costs nothing, that does not involve sacrifice and self-denial, reveals a lack of regard for the majesty of God. The majesty of God, the glory of God. Let me ask you this. Dare I put anything off on God that's not the best? The best. The choice part. You know, your pastor, a lot of your pastor means a great deal to you, and you've shown that through the years. Suppose I came to your home tomorrow and just dropped in, and I dropped in on Cecil, Madge here, and Susan. And they were sitting around the table. I just dropped in. I guarantee you Cecil would pick out the best piece of meat and give it to me. I know he would. Because of love. Because of I'm the pastor. Because of the office or authority that I represent. Because I come in the name of the Lord. The best piece. That's what. Dare, if the pastor gets the best choice piece, dare I put anything less off on God? Huh? That's what he said over in Malachi when they brought their stale bread and sick sheep and their lame and blind sheep. He said, why don't you take that to your governor and see if he'll like it, see if he'll accept it. This is the thing about preachers preaching a sermon. Here, you've given me an hour of your time on Sunday night, and this is the house of the Lord, and the people are assembled here. Dare I come here unprepared? Suppose these girls that sang tonight, they come over here and practice. They practice over at my house. They practice at other people. They practice and practice and practice. Not that they need practice. They do well. But they want to do better for the glory of God. Dare I do anything in the name of God that's less than my best effort? That's what I'm talking about. Dare I bring a worthless gift to God? Dare I give God an insincere, this thing of being praying in public? Dare I throw it in? Dare I bring God the leavings? The less than the best? My spare time? God have mercy. But I'm afraid he's not going to have mercy on us. We've given our jobs our best shot. We've given our companies and our places we work our best effort and best shot and gave God what's left. We've given ourselves, we've clothed our bodies in the finest material and bought the finest cars. We live in the biggest homes. We go to the classiest restaurants. And all these, we give God what's left. That's something to think about. Try it, he said, on your governor. Try it on your governor. And then last of all, a cheap course of religion. A spare time religion. Contributions and efforts in religion that don't cost me anything. That don't involve my time and my best and my study and my efforts and the very choice properties and the very choice gifts, the number one sheep and the very best of the first fruits, that which doesn't involve the best. Will never be accepted of God. Never. God will not accept second best from anybody. He won't accept it. Because our Lord said, let me show you two verses. Turn to Matthew 16. Matthew 16, verse 24. Listen to this. Jesus said in Matthew 16, 24, and this is where we've got to find the meaning of these verses. It's more than, I know it's more than, Ronnie, what we call today this easy believism. It's more than making a profession, walking. There's something here that involves more than just, I believe in Jesus. He says, look at verse 24 of Matthew 16. Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life, shall lose it. Whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. What is a man profit if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? He keeps his life and protects his life and saves his life and benefits his life and prepares for the comforts and luxuries of this life and neglects his soul, he loses his soul. But the man that gives it to God and casts himself and his family and his future and his present and everything, here it is, Lord, take it. It's yours, take it. He finds his life. For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? And then another verse, Matthew 13. Let's go back here. Matthew 13, verse 45. The kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had. That's total commitment. Total commitment. And bought it. Christ is worth that. Total commitment. That's what he's taught. Christ is that pearl. Christ is that pearl. Total commitment. I tell you, with a true disciple, his religion is not a sideline. It's the main line. You know, a railroad has a main line, and they've got a lot of spurs and sideline. It's the main line. That's where he does business. And a man who knows God, Christ is the main line. Christ is the goodly pearl. Christ is first. His relationship with the Lord is first. His worship is first. And let me tell you this. It's safe for me to say, because the Scripture is certainly on my side when I say this. If Christ is not Lord, if he's not first, if he's not Lord, if he's not first, then he's not anything. If he's less than everything, he's nothing. And this is what David is saying. It's such a beautiful story. It's so convicting. Especially in our generation, when there's so little loyalty and faithfulness and godliness and so much indifference and carelessness and so much religious sidelines, you know, when we all get to heaven, when the rolls call up yonder, I'll be there. So much presumption. when there's so little characteristics of real saving faith. David said, when this man said, here it is, just take, David said, oh no. No, sir. Shall I offer unto the Lord that which cost me nothing? And he bought it for 50 shekels of silver. And this is where I examine my devotion time, my prayer time, my time of meditation, my gifts, my contributions, my preaching preparation, my study preparation, anything that's a work of praise, and anything in regard to God. It's anything where God is concerned. It's the choice, the best, off the top. This is what I'm talking about. And that's what God is pleased with. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we search our hearts and we're so indifferent. We're so careless where the glory of God is concerned. We examine our prayers and it seems so empty. It seems so full of flesh. We examine our so-called good works, and so many of them are motivated by self-love and pride and self-praise. What little we have given and little we have done. When we think of the greatness of our God, the majesty of our God, the glory of our God, what you have done for us, when we think of thy power to keep us and thy power to provide for us, and thy power to supply our needs according to thy riches and glory through Christ Jesus. And yet we trust more the arm of the flesh. We lean more upon our own wisdom. How we ought to love thee. How we ought to praise thee. How we ought to give of our best to the Master. And anything less than our very best is unworthy of his greatness and glory. Let us learn something from this. Lord, be our teacher. Give us a humble, broken heart and a broken spirit. Make us willing to be taught, to be rebuked, to be corrected. If I have not loved thee before, let me love thee today. For Christ's sake I pray. Amen.